Welcome to the Inside Story podcast, where we dissect, analyze, and help define major global stories. I'm Imran Khan. The capital of the United Arab Emirates is 1,200 kilometers from the battlefields of Yemen's civil war. But despite being separated by the vast territory of Saudi Arabia, Abu Dhabi is now being targeted by the Houthis. The UAE intercepted two missiles over the city on Monday, a week after Houthi drones killed at least three people near Abu Dhabi airport. So, could the entire Gulf region be dragged into a dangerous new phase of the war in Yemen? Let's bring in our guests in Muscat, in Oman, Abdullah Babood, an academic and researcher focusing on the Gulf region, in Stockholm, in Sweden, Afrat Nasser, Yemen researcher at Human Rights Watch, and in Washington, D.C., Nabil Khoury, former U.S. diplomat in Yemen and senior fellow at the Atlantic Council's Rafiq Hariri Center for the Middle East. Welcome to the program. Let's begin in Muscat in Oman. Is this a dangerous escalation or just a case of the chickens coming home to roost for the UAE? It's been involved in the war since a partial withdrawal in 2019.
Well, I think this is a dangerous escalation. When we see our capitals in the region and our cities are being attacked by missiles, it obviously doesn't bode well for the region and brings the war to our towns and also destroys our facilities and destroys, of course, you know, the reputation of the region being a safe region for investment and tourism, etc. And I think this was expected in a way because, you know, the continuation of the war has ended in this situation. The Gulf states that interfered in this war in the first place have not been able to end it, and negotiations have not led anywhere. And it seems that the war is now getting out of context and out of control, where you know, the Gulf states are being attacked. So I think this is a very dangerous omen for the whole region.
But not to be unexpected, though. Nabil Khoury, we've been warning of this. The Americans have been warning that the Gulf could be part of the war if it continued on, yet negotiations haven't got anywhere. This was to be expected, wasn't it?
Yes, I don't think the Emirates can expect to be playing in this war directly and indirectly without somehow getting affected. This latest upscale in fighting is all about the battle for Ma'rib, which is about a battle for natural resources of Yemen. In the end, in any peace scenario possible, those resources will have to be shared by all the regions of Yemen. And so those working on mediation right now should focus on making sure that there is a formula for everybody to share in these natural resources, and therefore no need for fighting.
Afrat Nasser, a few people have died in Abu Dhabi, yet 4.5 million people have been displaced and hundreds of thousands of people have died in Yemen. Yet the international community is up in arms about a few attacks in the Gulf. I mean, that seems incredibly unfair, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, logically speaking, yeah. And the recent escalation also sends a clear message that civilians are caught between two fires with absolute lack of accountability for these violations by parties to the conflict. And either in Yemen, in the UAE or Saudi Arabia, civilians should never be an object of attack. But the recent escalation shows that parties to the conflict show an increasing disregard for civilian life, for civilian infrastructure, and for any prospect for ending the suffering of millions of civilians, whether in Yemen or even attacking or targeting civilians in Saudi Arabia and the UAE. And when I say the lack of accountability, is that we've been in this conflict for 7 years without anyone getting accountable for any of these violations. And just recently, the UN ended the mandate of the only international impartial investigation mechanism to document war crimes in Yemen. So that gives a clear or sends a clear message to the parties to the conflict to continue doing violation and attacking civilians without any consequences. So civilians are only paying the price for being caught between two fires.
Abdullah Babood in Muscat, often when an escalation like this occurs, it's because one party is absolutely desperate to strike a blow that may seem to be definitive or at least puts pressure for at least bringing people to the talks. Is that what's going on right now? Do you think the Houthis are desperate and they want to bring an end to this conflict? Or is it an escalation and the Houthis just have nothing else left to play for?
Well, there are, of course, it's a very complex war and a very complex causes for this. And I think, from my own reading, is that both sides are fatigued now because of this war. The Houthis were working very hard, as it were, to control Marib, which is the oil-rich region, and because that kind of helped them to sort out some of the economic and financial issues they're facing. With the UAE supported brigade that drove them out of this, they, you know, they're now trying to escalate. I believe also the coalition is getting tired of this. It's a very costly war in terms of economics and in terms of even, you know, reputation and politics. And I think everybody wants to end the war, but no one really wants to talk about the reality on the ground. They want to end the war as, you know, on the condition that it started. And that is going to be very difficult because things have changed. I think also both sides want to bring it to the forefront of other regional and international crises. You know, the Yemen crisis, despite the fact that it's, you know, it's costing the Yemenis and their human lives and, of course, destroying their country, no one seems to care as much. Given, of course, the multitude of different crises, whether it is in the region or outside the region. So it seems that by escalating, pushing this forward to bring international and regional powers and United Nations, etc., to start to push for more negotiated settlement. And that's the only way that this conflict is going to be resolved. I don't think there is a military solution. And it's only if we can get all parties to sit down and talk reasonably to end the war, because enough is enough. You know, the Yemeni people have suffered enough. And now we are seeing that the war has been, we've been implicated in the Gulf in this war, and our cities are being attacked. So I think it's about time that this war ends.
Nabil Khoury, it's about time that this war ends, but that's a very long way away. We still have, and I'm going to use the term proxy war going on in Yemen between Saudi Arabia and Iran, both key players. How difficult is it going to be to get those two people around the table on this particular issue when they can't agree on several other issues outside of Yemen? I mean, this is fairly low down the agenda for Saudi Arabia and for Iran, right?
Yes, I think you're absolutely right. Unfortunately, I don't think anybody is really tired of this war except the civilians, who are the main target and the main victims of this war. Everybody else is gearing up, and this war could go on for 10 more years. The job is for the mediators, both from the United Nations and the U.S., to step up their game. In the end, this war is a struggle for power inside Yemen to fill the vacuum left by Ali Abdullah Saleh. And all sides have ambitions to dominate the scene. These ambitions are over the top. There is no one side in Yemen that can dominate the whole country. In the end, they have to share power, and the formula has to be imposed if necessary, to make sure that everybody will have a share in ruling this country, but they cannot dominate. regional powers intervening are all intervening for their own purposes, not for the purpose of helping Yemen. And this is the job for the big powers, especially the U.S., to get the regional players out of Yemen once and for all.
We'll continue to talk about the politics in just a moment, but I want to bring in Afra Nasser here and talk about the human rights side of this. It seems that every side in the Yemeni conflict has human rights abuses on its ledger. Can you just talk us through what sort of human rights abuses we're looking at?
Look, there is no conflict between these destructive policies and the human rights violations. So if there were like any consequence or any mechanism to hold abusers accountable, we would see some progress, whether politically or in the human rights front. So you have like, as the war drags on, so many armed groups that were created along the continuation of the conflict. So starting from the Houthi armed group in Sana'a, or the Saudi-led coalition and UAE-backed Yemeni forces and Saudi-backed Yemeni forces in the south, different groups have been committing a wide range of violations against civilians. So you have like a crisis of forcible detention, arbitrary detention, forcible disappearance, starvation, unlawful attacks, whether using missiles, rockets. The conduct of hostility is just reckless from every party in this conflict. And at the same time, you have backers and supporters from the US, UK, France, Germany, you name it, that they see these mounting documentation of violations, whether from international human rights groups like Human Rights Watch, Amnesty, and other groups. They see all these documentation and these reports coming even from UN Human Rights Council reports that show that there is a widespread of violation, and some of them that could amount to war crimes in Yemen. And yet these states in Europe and the US, these world leaders continue to support parties to the conflict without any consideration to the human life and human cost in the conflict. It's just really bizarre and frustrating,
right?
The bias that you see at the moment while Yemenis are being bombed since the UAE was attacked on 17th of January. It just tells you how the international community is under pressure and being biased to Saudi Arabia and the UAE thanks to their big influence.
Well, let's talk about that with Abdullah. Our guest in Washington, D.C., Nabil Khoury, actually said that this war could go on for another 10 years. However, is there any thinking in the UAE right now, given the litany of human rights abuses that we've just heard about, given the escalation into UAE territory, that actually enough is enough, that we do need to stop this war because it's now coming to our doorstep? Yes, Patriot Defense Missile System is working. The UAE have managed to destroy the missiles that came in, but this is just the tip of the iceberg.
I agree. I think it is very difficult to defend against such attacks. And maybe one can be successful in several times. It only needs one missile to get through. And it is the psychological impact rather than, of course, you know, the attack itself that has an impact on the region. You know, when the cities in the Gulf that are going through development and it's, you know, want to attract investments and tourism, etc., and now being attacked, obviously this is going to have an impact, especially in the UAE, because unlike Saudi Arabia, the UAE doesn't have the strategic depth that Saudi Arabia has. And of course, this is going to affect it really badly. And I believe that the leadership in the United Arab Emirates is going to work very hard to try and to de-escalate. And possibly now they got more involved in the war, they probably will have a say, as they did not do before, in trying to end the war, because now they are implicated in the war more than they were before. Obviously, they withdrew at a certain stage, and now they are back and they're being attacked. So I think maybe the United Arab Emirates now can push for further de-escalation and further talks. And I believe there is something going on at the moment. It's difficult to tell, but I think there are some meetings taking place where the United Arab Emirates wants to play a role in trying to resolve this conflict, because you know, negotiation between the Houthis and Saudi Arabia hasn't led anywhere in the past, and also with the legitimate government. And it requires pressure, and it requires pressure, as Nabila said, from the global powers, especially from the United States, from the European Union, from China and Russia, and from the United Nations, that they must end this war. Obviously, you know, a war like this, there are there is a war economy. There are a lot of people who benefited from the war and who want to continue with the war. But I think the states themselves are tired in a way. I think this has been very costly war for Saudi Arabia, financially, but also in terms of reputation. And I don't think the Saudis want this to continue either. But I think everybody has to come to a recognition that, you know, you cannot continue the, bombarding cities, and you cannot continue this war, and there is no winner at the end, and everybody has to give in something or give up something for a peaceful resolution of the conflict. This is a very complicated conflict. It's probably more complicated than the Palestinian-Israeli conflict because of the so many different factions and interests in this conflict.
Nabil Khoury, you've just heard what our guest in Moscow has had to say. Do you still think that this could go on for another 10 years? Does his words give you any kind of hope for a quicker resolution to the conflict?
Unfortunately, I was a bit optimistic at the beginning of the Biden administration due to their focus and their sending a special envoy to help end the Yemen war. But now a year past that mark and nothing, absolutely nothing, has been achieved, my optimism has evaporated. The UAE should be motivated for peace, but I don't see them making any move for mediation or suing for peace. On the contrary, the UAE has been establishing a maritime empire that spreads from Dubai through the Horn of Africa and up the Suez Canal to North Africa. They are very ambitious. And with that ambition, I don't see them all that concerned. I mean, they have good defenses, and their main cities will probably be defended against any incoming rockets. And the rockets, in the end of the day, will not change the balance of power that much. The balance of power is overwhelmingly in the air, on the side of the Arab coalition. On the ground, it's a different matter. And I think it's the mediator's job to really focus. Oman made a very good effort, but Oman can't impose anything. If both sides don't accept to come to the table, Oman can only offer ideas. But in the end of the day, it's the big powers at the United Nations, the UN Security Council, that must agree with one another and that must impose a solution. Afrah Nasser is absolutely correct about the bias. I am ashamed that our own right. State Department, after what happened, I mean, the Houthis foolishly fired a few rockets.
Sorry, Nabil, we are running out of time, and I do want to come to Afrah Nasser. You've just mentioned her there. This is the worst humanitarian crisis currently on the planet. And with everything our guests have just been talking about, there's no quick solution to this. It's only going to get worse. Yet, not only do we have donor fatigue when it comes to kind of dealing with this conflict, but we also have political fatigue as well. People just don't want to get involved, do they, internationally?
Yeah, so as you just mentioned, this is the world's worst humanitarian crisis. And at the same time, in my opinion, it's the world's worst political crisis. There seems to be political fatigue, donor fatigue. And at the same time, even the U.S. administration is talking about considering to redesignate the Houthis as terrorist group, which will have serious implication for millions of civilians. Look, both sides' attacks cannot be justified by other side apparent and lawful attacks. So what we need here is justice, really. No peace, no justice, and no justice, no peace. What Houthis were being able to do is, because there is no consequences, what the Saudi-led coalition have been able to do is because there is no consequences. Yemen is in desperate need of accountability. The bias that Dr. Nabeel just mentioned, it's just shameful and disgraceful. And, you know, the international community should condemn abusers and violators of all sides. This is the least thing that not only Yemenis, all civilians deserve, whether in Yemen, in the UAE, Saudi Arabia. Civilians deserve solidarity from the international community.
Sorry, Afra, we are running out. We are running out of time, and I do want to come to just very quickly, Abdullah Babood. Given everything you've heard from Stockholm and Washington DC, there, do you still believe that this attack could lead to a quicker resolution to the conflict now that the UAE it's come to the UAE's borders? Do you still believe that?
I don't think it will lead to a quicker resolution, but I think it will move the waters a little bit. And I think we have seen that now, you know, the international UN special envoy, the US special envoy are visiting the region and they are talking. I think there is a lot of discussions going on between the leaders in the region. So I think it has nudged the conflict a little bit more to the forefront of international politics, because it's been neglected for many reasons. And that is wrong, because we are seeing people being killed and suffering next to us. And there's a huge humanitarian crisis, has been said. And the world at large ignored this conflict, letting them just, you know, get on with it. So I think this is going to at least bring this to the forefront. And there are some discussions. And I think the more attacks happen in the cities, even if they don't succeed, the fear of those attacks and, of course, the reputational damage is going to have an effect in the Gulf states. You know, we're small countries, we're, you know, peaceful countries, and they're trying to build their economies on diversification and investment and so on. And this is going to have a really bad reputation for UAE and for Saudi Arabia and for the whole region at large, if this is going to continue for a long time. So I think there must be a solution to this.
I do want to thank all our guests, Abdullah Babood, Afra Nasser and Nabeel Khoury. That's it for the Inside Story podcast. This episode was produced by Calvin Eng, Osama Aloni, Abdulrahman Warsam and Jim Gilchrist. Studio sound was by Yasser Rahmani, and the program was edited by Manish Matai, Lynn Engwin and Joe DeFrias. Be sure to subscribe to the Inside Story podcast to catch every episode. Thank you too for listening. We'll be back again on Wednesday.